ने विष्णु कोयल दर्शना श्री रंग क्षेत्रे थबे कोरिला गमाना। After visiting the holy place named Shiva Kshetra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Papanasana and there saw the temple of Lord Vishnu. Then he finally reached Sri Ranga Kshetra. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to some, the place known as Papanasana is located 8 miles southwest of Kumbakonam. Others say that in the district of Tenebeli, there is a city known as Palamakota. 20 miles west of there is a holy place known as Papanasana, near the river Tamraparni. Sri Ranga Kshetra is a very famous place near Tiruchirappalli. There is a river named Kaveri or Kolirana. A city known as Srirangam is located on this river in the district of Tanjore, about 10 miles west of Kumbakonam. The Sriranga temple is the largest in India, and there are 7 walls surrounding it. There are also 7 roads leading to Sriranga. The ancient names of these roads are the Road of Dharma, the Road of Raj Mahendra, the Road of Kula Shekhar, the Road of Ali Narana, the Road of Tiru Vikram, the Tirubidi Road of Madamadi Gaisha, and the Road of Ada Jyala Indana. The temple was founded before the reign of Dharmavarma, who reigned before Raj Mahendra. Many celebrated kings like Kulashekar and others such as Alabandanu resided in the temple of Srirangam. Yamunacharya, Sri Ramanujacharya, Sudarsan Acharya and others also supervised this temple. The incarnation of the goddess of fortune, known as Goda Devi, who was one of the 12 liberated persons known as Divya Suris, was married to the deity, Lord Sri Ranganath. Later, she entered into the body of the Lord. An incarnation of Karmuka Tirumanga, one of the Alvars, acquired some money by stealing and built the 4th boundary wall of Srirangam. It is said that in the year 289 of the age of Kali, the Alvar of the name Tondaradipadi was born. While engaged in devotional service, he became a victim of a prostitute, and Sri Ranganath, seeing his devotee so degraded, sent one of his servants with a golden plate to that prostitute. When the golden plate was discovered missing from the temple, there was a search, and it was found in the prostitute's house. When the devotee saw Ranganath's mercy upon this prostitute, his mistake was rectified. He then prepared the 3rd boundary wall of Ranganath Temple and cultivated a Tulsi garden there. There was also a celebrated disciple of Ramanujacharya known as Kuresh. Sri Ramapillai was the son of Kuresh, and his son was Bhagbijai Bhatt, whose son was Vedavyas Bhatt, or Sri Sudarsan Acharya. When Sudarsan Acharya was an old man, the Mohammedans attacked the temple of Ranganath and killed about 1,200 Sri Vaishnavas. At that time, the deity of Ranganath was transferred to the temple of Tirupati in the kingdom of Vijayanagara. The governor of Gingi, Gopanarya, brought Sri Ranganath from the temple of Tirupati to a place known as Singha Brahma, where the Lord was situated for 3 years. In the year 1293 Shaka, the deity was again reinstalled in the Ranganath temple. On the eastern wall of the Ranganath temple is an inscription written by Vedanta Deshika relating how Ranganath was returned to the temple. Kavadite snanakori deka Ranganath stuti pranati kori manilak kritartha. After bathing in the river Kaveri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the temple of Ranganath and offered his ardent prayers and obeisances. Thus he felt himself successful. Prema veshi koila bahut gana naratan deki chamat karahoila sabolokirman. In the temple of Ranganath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in ecstatic love of God. Seeing this performance, everyone was struck with wonder. Sri Vaishnav Eka Venkata Patanam Prabhure Nirmantarana Koile Kodiyasaman. One Vaishnav, known as Venkata Bhatta, then invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect. Hare Krishna. With your permission, shall I try to speak something? In Srila Prabhupada's purport, he is sharing with us some of the history of this great temple of Ranganath Dev. It is the largest temple in all of India. Not only that, it was the high seat of Vaishnavism for all of South India for centuries. Yesterday, before we were called for the blessed darshan of Sri Ranganath Swami, we came to the point where Ranganath's temple, over many centuries, was covered by sand due to being flooded over by the river Kaveri. People did not know where the temple was, where the deity was. It simply didn't exist to the eyes of man. Krishna tells in Gita that this is the nature of the world. Krishna tells Arjuna that I spoke this knowledge to Bibhishan, who spoke to Manu, and then to Ikshvaku, And in this way it was passed down through disciplic succession. But in due course of time, it was lost. So again I am going to revive the true light of Sanatana Dharma by speaking to you. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatya abhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamya. The Lord says he comes again and again to reestablish the principles of religion, to protect the pious, to annihilate the miscreants. But why? It may be thought that if the Lord just appeared one time, in one form, and established dharma, and established the proper process of worship, who he was and how to please him, that would be forever in the minds of human society. But by the power of time, everything in this world disintegrates. Therefore, the Lord has to keep coming again and again and again to essentially tell us the same thing, because we keep forgetting. And we find in every religion of the world, the same types of situations happen within a religion, even in a matter of centuries, where the Lord has to empower certain people to create revivals of the original spirit. So devotees must be very, very careful to keep this spirit of parampara, which means the mood of pure devotional service, always very much alive, even in our own Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only came 500 years ago, but he came to revive what was practically lost, the message of Godhead. And just a few hundred, and just not long after Lord Chaitanya, the river Ganges flooded over his birthplace, flooded over most of his pastime places, and remained like that for centuries. And by the time the Ganges shifted to its natural course again, people could only speculate. But the river of time created so much corruption. Various Sahaja sects developed, all in the name of being the true message of Lord Chaitanya. Why would anyone follow anything except unless they accept it to be the highest truth? Yes, there were a few very, very deeply realized saintly persons in secluded places, preserving the essence. But to the world, even in our own Gaudiya Sampradaya, the vast majority of people had misconceptions which prohibited them from getting the real treasure that Lord Chaitanya wanted to give. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his son Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they literally had to fight battles and risk their lives just to establish Lord Chaitanya's teachings as it is. Prabhupada was shocked when he came to America and he saw that Bhagavad Gita was so popular and there was so many commentaries, but none of them were speaking in the spirit that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. This is what happens. God appears, he reveals his word, and then in course of time, he becomes covered by the rivers and the sand of human beings' tendencies to cheat, imperfect senses. They're invariably illusioned, and they make too many mistakes. Every human being has these four defects. Therefore, the fire of parampara is the only thing that can protect us from these four defects. The descending process of knowledge. But even parampara is distorted in time. Therefore, the Lord has to keep manifesting himself, either directly or indirectly. So it's unimaginable. But when we study religious history, it's absolutely believable. So in the year 1510, some say 1512, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to Sri Rangam. And with your permission, we will discuss this particular subject today. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas in the month of Magh. He left Navadweep, went to Katwa, eventually came to Shantipur, and then traveled to Jagannath Puri. He resided in Jagannath Puri during the month of Phalgun, and in the month of Chaitra, he delivered the greatest scholar of Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then in the next month of Vaishakha, Lord Chaitanya decided to go on a pilgrimage to South India. One day he held the hands of his devotees, and with great emotion, he expressed his heart. He said, "I cannot do anything without your blessings and permission. So today I am begging your permission to allow me to travel to South India. It is my desire to find my brother, Vishwarup, who left home years ago, never to be seen or heard from again. So please give me your blessings to go." This in itself is such an example. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, the supremely independent personality of Godhead, the controller of all controllers. But yet, in the role of a devotee to teach us by example, he will not begin any significant undertaking without the permission and the blessings of the devotees. And this is all important for everybody. Because the success of anything we do on the path of bhakti is that it pleases Krishna. If we do not have the blessings of the devotees, then nothing we do will please Krishna. We shouldn't even attempt anything without the blessings of the devotees. Because Krishna does not accept our material manipulations. Krishna does not simply accept that we can get something done. Krishna accepts the spirit, that we're doing it to please him. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to establish that the way to please him is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And this was consistent throughout his pastimes. He's the Yuga Avatar. He came to this world to establish the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names. But he didn't begin the process until he received initiation from Ishwarapuri, and Ishwarapuri ordered him, "Now you go out and you spread the holy names of the Lord throughout humanity. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata." In the age of Kali, the chanting of the names of Hari is the only way of the ultimate liberation. You must take this verse very deeply in your heart and spread the glories of Harinam Sankirtan. After he received the blessings and the order of his guru, then he went back to Navadvip to establish the Nam Sankirtan movement. And similarly, Nityananda Prabhu, he traveled for approximately 20 years and never preached until Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him permission and blessings to preach. So here is Krishna and Balaram, and they are establishing this principle that we must have blessings. With the blessings of the Vaishnavas, whatever we do is auspicious. But the devotees, they did not want to give him permission unless they could go with him. So Nityananda Prabhu said that, "You want to go to South India? Well, I know all the places because I've already been there. So I will also come." And then Mukunda, Jagadananda, Damodar Pandit, they were all explaining to Lord Chaitanya what services they could all do for him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "I will not go with any of you." Said, "Nityananda Prabhu, how will I go with you? I'm trying to be a sannyasi, and anything I try to do, you undermine. You broke my danda in three places. You threw it in the river. And when I wanted to go to Vrindavan, you misdirected me to Shantipur. I will not go with you. Too many disturbances you create." And Jagadananda Pandit, "I'm a sannyasi. I must perform tapasya. But when you see that I perform tapasya, you become so angry with me. You try to give me sense gratification. And if I don't accept your sense gratification, then you fast. Too much disturbance. I will not go with you." And Mukunda is very humble, very quiet. But when he sees that I take cold baths in the early morning and I'm sleeping on the hard ground, his heart breaks and he cries. And when I see his heart break, my heart breaks and I feel even more pain than him. So, Mukunda, I cannot go with you. And as far as Damodar Pandit, you are a brahmachari. And I am sannyasi. And brahmacharis are supposed to follow the instructions of sannyasis. But you are like with a stick over me, chastising me when I do anything not according to your standards. I will not go with any of you. I will go alone." Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, they explain so beautifully how Lord Chaitanya was not criticizing them. He was actually glorifying them. Because each of these examples that we have cited were due to their pure, ecstatic, spontaneous love for the Lord. In the name of criticizing them, in the guise of criticizing them, he was actually glorifying the sweetness of their pure love for him. But still, he would not go with them. Nityananda Prabhu said, but when you're walking down the roads, you'll be chanting with one hand and you'll be counting the names that you chant with your other hand. So both of your hands will be occupied and you have to carry extra kopan and an extra set of clothes. And you also require to carry a begging bowl and a water pot. The danda was already gone. Nityananda did not bring up the subject of a danda. So you should take at least one assistant. And we have a new man. A new man who's very simple and he won't trouble you in any way. He won't say anything. His name is Kal Krishna Das. He's a nice Brahmin. Please take him. So Lord Chaitanya, in order to please the devotees, accepted Kal Krishna Das. Then Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and told him that, please give me your blessings and permission to go on a tour of South India. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he started to cry. He said, after many, many births of being a materialistic person and a Mayavadi, finally I obtained your mercy. Just days ago you delivered me from all of my nonsense. You're my life and soul, my only hope, and now you want to leave me? My Lord, please do not leave. But at the same time, you are the independent Lord of my life. I cannot tell you not to go. But I request that you stay in my house for 5 days more. Lord Chaitanya was so loving to his devotees, he agreed. Yes. And he stayed in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house for 5 days. And every day Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sumptuous prasad. And just to please him, he accepted that prasad. And throughout the day and the night, there was simply Krishna Katha and Harinam Sankirtan. When the 5 days were complete, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the permission and blessings of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Getting the blessings of all the assembled devotees, then he went to Jagannath's temple and begged permission to leave from Lord Jagannath. This was also the standard of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He received an order to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He went to all the devotees and got their blessings. Then he went to Madan Mohan to beg his permission. Similarly, when Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shamananda Goswami, when they were ordered to take all the books of the Goswamis to Bengal, they traveled all over Braj to get the permission and blessings and prayers of every devotee. They went all the way to Radha Kund to get the blessings of Raghunath Das Goswami. They went all the way to a cave in Govardhan to get the blessings of Raghava Pandit. They went to all the different temples, and Lokanath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Madhu Pandit. They went everywhere getting blessings, 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 seeking permission. But the wonderful way that these devotees appealed for blessings was by humbly serving these devotees, honoring these devotees, and taking shelter of these devotees. Because blessings of Vaishnavas may be there, but we benefit from those blessings to the extent we are receptive. Our heart must be receptive. We must be able to digest blessings. For those of you who understand the science of Ayurveda, our health is very much dependent on the power of our digestion. Well, from a spiritual point of view, our spiritual health is completely dependent on our ability to digest mercy. Yes, mercy is coming, but are we receptive? Srila Prabhupada showered his mercy on so many people. But not everyone's the same. And Krishna, he showered his mercy on Duryodhana. He showered his mercy on Karna. But they could not digest any of it, because they were proud. Because they were envious. Because they had ulterior motives. Yes, you can beg for blessings. And you can, yes, you are blessed. Mercy will come. But our heart can only digest it to the extent we are not duplicitous. That is why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he taught us that the first principle of following Vaishnava Dharma is simplicity. And what is simplicity? It's a deep subject. But an easy way of defining simplicity is no duplicity. That means no ulterior motive. Having an honest and open heart. No separate agenda. No secret agenda. No hidden motives. We have an open heart and a clean heart. That is simplicity. To be humble, to be honest, to be straightforward, and not to have hidden agenda. In other words, simplicity means we have a real service attitude. We're not thinking, what's in it for me? Now, you can be a devotee for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. You could be a devotee for 50 lifetimes. Time is not what's going to make you advanced. It may. It's not just the time we're in the movement. It's not just being senior in terms of years that makes us dear to Krishna. Our advancement is to what extent we are able to digest mercy when it comes to us. And in order to do so, we must be simple. Prabhupada emphasized simple living and high thinking.
And who judges whether we're simple or not? The Paramatma, Krishna within our heart. He sees our motives. Sometimes in our ordinary dealings, we have to be very clever and very intelligently astute to not be cheated. Yes? Sometimes in management, so many intellectual exercises we have to go through to get something done. But our heart must be simple. We're not trying to fool anyone. We're not trying to exploit anyone. We're not trying to cheat. We're open, we're honest, we're humble. That is simplicity. So, when we have that simple heart and we beg for blessings and blessings come, we can fully digest it. And then we become nourished and empowered by those blessings. In Prabhupada's prayer, Anjala Dutta, he teaches us what our consciousness must be to digest blessings. I remember one time I sang that song and a very, very senior Gaudiya Vaishnava from Orissa, he heard it for the first time. And he just started crying. He was crying in ecstasy. He said, "This poem by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is the essence of the whole Gaudiya Vaishnav culture and philosophy. Everything that needs to be known of what a Vaishnava is supposed to be is right here in this poem." And the amazing thing is, Prabhupada did not write it thinking that anyone would even read it. He was Anjala Dutta. He had no followers. He was just pouring his heart out to Krishna and his Guru Maharaj. So after taking the blessings of all the assembled devotees, then Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath's temple to ask for his blessings. Standing at the Garuda Stamba. And after receiving Jagannath's blessings, he was about to begin his journey. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approached him as he was about to leave and said, "My Lord, I have one favor I beg of you. Please grant me this benediction. When you are traveling in the south, near the city of Vidyanagar, which is on the banks of the Godavari River, there is a very great devotee of the Lord. I want you to meet him because I know you will find so much happiness if you meet him." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the only benediction he was asking was a benediction that would make Lord Chaitanya happy. He said, "Ramananda Rai, he is so learned and he is so deeply devoted. Previously, because I was a Mayavadi, I could not appreciate him. In fact, I laughed about his devotion to Krishna. I ridiculed him.
But now, by your mercy, I have become a devotee and I could fully appreciate Ramananda Rai's greatness. You will find great satisfaction conversing with him. Please meet him, please. Lord Chaitanya agreed. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, although he was a grihastha with a wife and children, he was a kshetra sannyasi, which means his worshipable deity was Lord Jagannath, and in his life he would never leave Puri, never leave the place of his deity. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he left Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could not tolerate that he was leaving. Can you imagine? Lord Chaitanya was going to go, he said, I'm going all the way to Setu Banda, which was thousands of miles away from Puri. And there was no telephones. There was no emails. There was no postal system. How to communicate? And Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi. He didn't communicate in those ways anyway. The only time he communicated with anybody is when he was with them. Except sometimes through their hearts as the Paramatma. So the devotees, they didn't know how many years the Lord would be gone. And they were not going to get any information of his whereabouts or his activities. This was very difficult. I remember when Srila Prabhupada was with us, we lived to the moment that he would come to our temples and shower his mercy on us. But when he wasn't there, we were always trying to be attuned to where he was and what he was doing and what he was saying and how he was expanding the preaching and how he was dealing with the devotees. And when Shyam Sundar Prabhu was Prabhupada's secretary, he was such a generous, kind-hearted soul, which he still is, of course. But he did what none of the other secretaries really did. Shyam Sundar Prabhu wrote newsletters to all the temples in the world of Prabhupada's activities. Because Shyam Sundar Prabhu was personally witnessing, both internally and externally, how Prabhupada was dealing with various situations and beautiful, sweet, loving exchanges that Prabhupada was having with individuals, as well as monumental preaching successes he was having with the public. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu was empowered to write these newsletters, and devotees all over the world were just waiting for Shyam Sundar Prabhu's newsletters for Prabhupada. Because by the time the 70s came, almost every devotee in the world was ordered by their authorities not to write a letter to Srila Prabhupada. Yes? I was personally told it's offensive to write a letter to Prabhupada. Because then Prabhupada has to go through so much trouble just to answer your letter. And he has so many things to do. Why do you want to bother him? Why do you want to bog him down in this way? So the vast majority of Prabhupada's disciples never wrote a letter to Prabhupada and never received a letter from Prabhupada because they were ordered not to. And in this way, as far as any personal exchange with Prabhupada, when for sometimes years between he would come to your temple, was Shyam Sundar Prabhu's newsletters.
You know, every now and then his books would come out, but actually hearing about what Prabhupada was doing, what Prabhupada was saying, where Prabhupada was going, it was wonderful.
And for this, we have a great debt to Shamsundar Prabhu. He nourished our hearts very beautifully. And of course, Yadubar Prabhu and Vishaka Prabhu, they were taking photos and making videos of Prabhupada. So that was also keeping us alive. But most of the videos still we haven't seen. But it's coming. In fact, Yadubar Prabhu with Bhakti S.A. and Soul Mataji, they are based in Radha Gopinath Temple, and that's the main project they're working on. Editing in DVD form, in the best possible quality, all of the footage of Srila Prabhupada to make it available to the whole world. So we should all pray here at Sri Rangam that their project is a grand success. And any other ways we can help them also, we should try to help. So, Kal Krishna Das was not like Shamsundar. He didn't write a single newsletter. And there was no postal system to deliver it anyway. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to leave, that means no word about him till he comes back, and we don't know when he'll come back. It's not that they all saw him off at the airport in Bhuvaneshwar. He was walking. That was the only transportation of that day for sadhus, was walking. Now, kshatriyas would ride on horses, and sometimes vaishyas would ride on donkeys. But sadhus would walk. Yes, only walking. So they came. So when Lord Chaitanya said goodbye to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he goes, "No, don't leave, please." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya said, "You know, Hare Krishna," and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fell down to the ground unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya just walked away. Hare Krishna. Totally renounced.